Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf HaYomi, Makas Daf Test. We begin three lines off the top of the Amud Chutz, Mal Yidei Ger Toshav. So the Mishnah speaks about basically anybody going to Golos on account of a killing Bishgoga, except for a Ger Toshav. And Rashi explains, the wording of the Mishnah indicates that it works both ways, in both directions. So if a Yisrael kills a Ger Toshav is a guy who committed to the seven Noahide laws, he refrains from Avodah Zarah, etc., all these Sheva mitzvahs he adheres to, he's called a Ger Toshav. He may live amongst you, but he's not really a full Ger, of course. So he has sort of an in-between status. In any case, the Mishnah says that there's no golos on account of a Ger Toshav, both ways. So if a bona fide Yisrael kills a Ger Toshav b'shogeg, there's no need to go to golos. And likewise, on the flip side, if a Ger Toshav kills a Yisrael b'shogeg, there's no golos either. He gets misa. No discounts, no golos. He gets misa because, you see, a real guy, if he kills or does any of the Averis, he's over on the Sheva Mitzvahs. There's a Lashon in the Gemara back in Sanhedrin, Az Harasan Zuhi Misasan. There's no need to warn them, no need to get involved. They violate, they destroy their very essence. The Maharal learns that seven Mitzvahs, Bnei Noach, corresponds to the 7 days of creation. The number seven denotes nature, Teva. That's why they have seven mitzvahs. They're just meant to maintain their existence. A yid, a Yisrael, goes way higher, elevates himself to the spiritual. By a guy, it's more just about keeping to himself, maintaining his stature, maintaining his status, maintaining his existence, his mitzvahs of teva. And if he obstructs that in any way, he gets misa. So that's the standard punishment, including killing. And even if he kills b'shoigeg, the Mishnah implies that even a Ger Toshav who does so to a Yisrael gets Misa. He should have paid more attention, he should have been more careful. Chutz ma'al de'Ger Toshav Alma, apparently, says the Gemara, Alma Ger Toshav Oibed Kechavim, we treat a Ger Toshav in this context like a guy. Ema Seifa. What about the next part of the Mishnah? Where it concludes with the words, Ger Toshav Goyle, al yidei Ger Toshav. There is a concept of exile to a Ger Toshav. Amar Rav Kahana, yeah, it depends who the victim is, like Kashu. Kan be Ger Toshav, Shara Ger Toshav. The concluding wording in the Mishnah relates to a Ger Toshav killing another Ger Toshav. In that case, you're right. You're right, Golos applies. Okay, for that Shgoga, Golos applies. Kan be Ger Toshav, Shara Yisrael. However, previously in the Mishnah, where it says Chutz from Ger Toshav, the victim there was a Yisrael. So in that case, there's no golos for the Ger Toshav. And on the flip side, if a Yisrael killed a Ger Toshav, there's no golos either. And Rashi explains, there's no golos, and he's potter. But a Ger Toshav who kills a Yisrael, neherag olav, he'll get misa. Ika de rami kroyadot. Some presented an apparent contradiction between two psukim regarding a Ger Toshav. And Rav Kahana was coming to alleviate that apparent contradiction. One pasuk says, "Ksiv levnei Yisrael, v'la ger v'la toshav b'seichav tiyena sheish ha'arim ha'elas." So we're speaking about these six Arei Miklat, cities of refuge, designed to accommodate the Ritzeach b'shegaga. Okay, so apparently a Ger Toshav can utilize an Ir Miklat, covering even a Ger Toshav. Uksiv, but then there's another pasuk which excludes the Ger Toshav from this privilege. V'hoy lachem ha'arim lemiklat. Lachem only for you. For Bnei Yisrov, v'lein lagerim, not for the Ger Toshav. So is it or not? Amar Rav Kahana, depends who he killed. Like Asher, kan b'Ger Toshav sharag Yisrael, the victim was a Yisrael, there's no golos. He gets killed. Kan b'Ger Toshav sharag Ger Toshav. If one Ger Toshav kills another, golos is in place. There are many, but we have a kasha from Rabbi Brisa, which discusses the Bnei Noach keeping their, you know, seven mitzvahs, and if they were, they violated, they were over, they got misa. Lefichach, therefore, since misa is applied, ger, which means a ger toshev, v'oved kechavim, and a regular guy, shahargu, if they killed even inadvertently, neherogen, they get misa. Because again, there's no need to warn, they are pre-warned, forewarned, and even b'shoigig, you should have paid attention, should have been more careful, they get misa. So let's take a closer look at this brisa. Ketani, the brisa, pairs together ger dumi david kichavim, a ger like a goy, because it's said in the same breath, right? We assume it's on the same track, and we compare the two, mayavid kichavim, just as in the case of the actual goy who kills. It doesn't matter who the victim is, loishna de katal bar minei, whether he killed a goy of his ilk, right? Or he killed somebody who was a bit different than him, classified a bit differently, meaning, let's say, a Yisrael. Nerag. Right? So the guy will get killed. So just like we don't differentiate by the guy who kills, since the ger was mentioned in the same breath, right? So just like by the goy, we say, well, he killed somebody his type, his min, meaning another goy, or he killed a Yisrael. Either way, Nerag, he gets killed. Af ger, same by ger toshev. Lo yishna de katal bar minei, whether he killed one of his own type, another ger toshev. Right? Even b'shoigig. Lo yishna katal de la bar minei, or he killed somebody who's a bit different than him. Meaning a regular Yisrael. Either way, what's the verdict? Nerag, he gets killed. So apparently, a ger toshev kills another ger toshev, will get killed, will not have the ability to go to an ir miklat, which is in contrast to our Mishnah, where we learn that a ger toshev who killed another ger toshev gets galus. Amar Rav Chisda, depends on the circumstance. Like Kash. Kan shahar gederach irida. When we say that he goes to galus for killing another ger toshev, if it happened through a downward motion, derach irida, but your galus is in place. Kan shahar gederach ali. When the Brisa says there's no galus, rather he gets killed, is where it happened while he was doing an upward swing, an upward motion. In which case, there's no galus. And he'll get killed. And then the Gemara explains, Derech Yerida, if it's Derech Yerida, the Yisrael Gali, that if it would happen by a Yid, against another Yid, he would go to Galus, Ihunami Sagalebu Galus. Comparatively, right? If a Ger Teshev did that act against another Ger Teshev, Ihunami Sagalebu Galus. Galus is sufficient in that case. As opposed to Derech Aliyah, the Yisrael Potter. If a Yisrael kills Derech Aliyah B'shoigig, he's Potter from Golus. So Golus is not an option by Derech Aliyah. Likewise, who, if it happens by a Geret Toshev, against the Geret Toshev, Nerag. Golus is not an option, he gets killed. Amalei Rabbah, so Rabbah says, what do you mean? If anything, V'lav Kavachimu. Let's take a look at the logic, makeup of this equation. Look, Uma Derech Yerida, the Yisrael Gali. If you tell me that Derech Yerida, where, if it should happen by a Yisrael, he would go to Galus. Ihu Nami Sagale B'Galus. So likewise, a Ger Toshev who killed his friend, Ger Toshev, in the same fashion, the same manner. Derech Yerida, Galus is sufficient. So certainly Derech Aliyah, if he killed him, Derech Aliyah. If it would happen by Yisrael, the Yisrael party would be totally exempt. No galus. How could you tell me, you Nerag? So now that it happened by Ger Toshev, I guess the Ger Toshev will get killed? If anything, it's a less severe act. Something which a Yisrael, if he would do it, would be exempt. Certainly the Ger Toshev should be exempt. Right? Because it's less severe, it's less liable. Ella Amar Rava says, Rava, I'll tell you. I'll give you an answer to this question. Mishnah says a Ger Toshev against a Ger Toshev gets Golos. The Braisa indicates he gets killed. Elamar Rava Baimer Mutter. You know why the Braisa says he gets killed? Because we're not speaking about an outright accident. He was uninformed. He killed him knowingly, but not realizing that it's forbidden. And according to Rava, Oimer Mutter is very close to outright negligence. Right? That'll follow your logic. You should have put your mind to it. Should have studied. Should have investigated. So you can't say it's an outright mazid, but it's very close to mazid. Therefore, there's no excuse. He gets killed. And that's what the Bryce is speaking about. Omli Abaye Oimer Mutter Onus. Abaye disagrees. We had this a couple of days ago as well. Oimer Mutter, no, it's a total accident. It's totally out of his hands. He's unaccountable for it. It's like an oinus. There's no reason to kill him. Omer Leiser, Rava says, no, I disagree. Shani Oimer, my opinion is Oimer Mutter is Karvil Mezidu, very close to being considered a Mezid. Therefore, he's liable. Vodil Tamayu, and in fact, this is a pretty well-known machlokes. How to categorize Oimer Mutter. Cases where he should have paid more attention, he could have investigated, he could have studied, he could have ensured that he's more informed. What status does it have? Because basically we have three categories. There's mazid, right? Outright negligence, outright intention. And then on the other side of the spectrum you have oinus, totally out of my hands, total accident. Then you have, you know, the shoygeg, which is somewhere in the middle. Unintentional, unwittingly. Then you have oimer mutter. So on which side of that center mark does oimer mutter belong? On the right side, closer to mazid. On the left side, closer to oinus. So that's the machlokes. The itmar, so ozul tamay is going back on Rav Chisda and Rava. Rav Chisda, who said that the answer is connected to Derech Yirida and Derech Aliyah, it's because he held oimer mutter, it's not a reason to kill him, it's like oinus, like Abaye. Whereas Rava said oimer mutter is closer to mazid. V'ozul tamay, and they're following their respective opinions, the itmar. We have a story, Kosovar Behemah Venimtza Adam. He thought it was shooting at an animal. It was kind of, you know, twilightish, it was darkish. He thought it was an animal. Ended up being a person. This is an example of Oimer Mutter. Rashi explains, Harizeh Ka'Oimer Mutter. What does it have to do with Oimer Mutter? He says, because just like Oimer Mutter, Shahid Lailumait, you're accountable because you should have opened a book and learned. You should have opened a sefer, opened a Shulchan Aruch, opened a Chumash. You're not gonna kill, right? Vavzeh. Same here. Hoy le la'ayin. You aim for the animal, thinking it's an animal. Turns out to be a person. You should have put on your glasses. You should have turned on the lights. And we're speaking about a Ger Toshev. This is the topic of this discussion. A Ger Toshev shot at a figure, thinking it's an animal. Venimtza Adam, turns out to be a person. Kanani thought it was a goy. Venimtza Ger Toshev, turns out to be Ger Toshev. How do we treat this act? Rav Amar Chayev is Chayev Misa. You know why? Oimer Mutter, even though he's considered Oimer Mutter, Karav LeMezidu, he's closer to the Mezid side of the spectrum. Karav LeMezidu. Rav Chisda Oimer Potter, he's Potter. Oimer Mutter, Anus, who knows in Anus. Eisvei Rav, so Rav who says that Oimer Mutter is considered liable, is close to Mezid, asks the question of Rav Chisda. We have a story in the Torah regarding Avimelech, who kind of kidnapped Rivka, Yitzhak's wife. And, it's a different story. The first time, this was when he took Sarah Imeinu, Avram's wife, right? So Hashem comes to him and he says, Hincha meis al isha shalokachta. You're going to be put to death because you took Avram's wife. Now, this is a classic example of Oimer Mutter. He was thinking, right, they had told him that she's his sister. That's Oimer Mutter. He was uninformed. And Hashem is telling him he's deserving of Misa. Right? Maila Bidei Adam, we're assuming it means Bidei Adam, meaning the court system down here will apply or can apply Misa to this fellow because of this sin. Because he violated one of these seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Arise. Oyvim mutar is liable, right? Loi, says the Gemara, b'nei shamayim. Not that the Bezdin would do anything, it's just that from heaven they'll punish him. But of course, the Sanhedrin can't because he's an Oyvim mutar. The economic, t'chsiv mechateli. And this is indicated in the Pasuk, where Hashem says, well, I spared you from sinning Li against me. Apparently, the issue was between him and Hashem. It wasn't an act that can or will be dealt with by the Bezdin because he's Omer Mutter, which makes him exempt from retribution down here, only, you know, liable to heavenly retribution. But Tameach says the Gemara, well, you know, just because it says Chatei Li, you think it means it's limited to retribution from heaven only? Let's shift over to Yosef HaTzadik, who tells Eshes Petifar, I can't get involved in this sin, which is a sin to God, to Hashem. Does he mean Le'lokim? It's only between himself and Hashem, limited to that realm, V'le'lo'adam, not relating to earthly proceedings? Of course it is. There he was fully aware that she was a married woman. So why does he say b'chatos elikim? Ella, he means to say dina masal adam. Even though it's a sin to Hashem, but retribution for that sin, punishment, is certainly relegated to the court system down here. Hachanam, dina masal adam here as well by Avimelech. Even though Hashem used the lashon mechatoi li, initially it's a sin to heaven, but ultimately it's given to the authority of the Bezdin to deal with it. Despite the fact that he's Omer Mutter. Esvi Habayit L'Rabba. Now comes Akashim Habayit to Rabba. You say Omer Mutter is fully liable? Hagoy Gam Tzadik Taharik? Avi Melech. Response to Hashem, well, were you going to punish a man who's a Tzadik? Right? I'm totally innocent. Had no clue that she was a married woman. Apparently, that was a very strong mitigating factor. Apparently. And we assume Hashem accepted it. Imer Mutter is an anus. No, says the Gemara Hasam, could the Kamahadri. Could the Kamahadri Ilove? The truth is Hashem responded. Hashem rejected his claim. He did not agree to it at all. Hashem says, Va'ata. Hashev Esha Sa Ishki Navihu. Right? So let's analyze that pasuk. Return the Esha Sa Ish, man's wife, Avram's wife, because he's a Navi, he's a prophet, he's a great man. Is that a reason why you have to return his wife? I mean, Esha Sa Navi, who did Tehadr? You're only obligated to return a Navi's wife, to love Navi like Tehadr, but if he's not a Navi, you don't have to return his wife. Ella. He meant like this. Kedah Amar, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani. The Amar, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amri Yonis, and he explains. Hachi ka Amar le Hashem meant like this. Va'ata Hashem ve'isha sayish. Return the man's wife, Mekal Makim, irrespective of his status. She's a married woman. Uduka Amris. Now, in response, with reference to your claim, Hagoy gam tzadik taharig, Haloi hu Amar li achoisi. How could you blame me? How could you punish me? I'm just a tzadik. I'm not to blame. He misrepresented her status. He presented her to me as a sister. No excuse. Let me explain to you what motivated Avram to mislead you. He was petrified of you. Navihu. Navi means he's a chacham. He's a wise man. He gleaned from your attitude that you're a dangerous man, that you're a threatening entity. You know why he said achaisihi? You know why? You don't compel them to misrepresent the facts. Achsanai, you know, he walks into the town, right? Typically, what's the first thing up for discussion? Hey, come sit down, have a tea, have a coffee, right? Can I serve you a meal? You got straight to the point. Who is she? Your sister? That got him. Put him on guard. And he was compelled to defend himself. And that's why he masked her true identity. So it's all your fault. don't use it as a mitigating factor. Achsanai, Shabali, or a guest walks into the town, al iski achilu shtia shalinoisai. Typically, first thing for discussion is food or drink. Klum shalinoisai ishtecha zoi achoischa zu. Who begins their conversation? By welcoming their guests, referencing the woman next to him. Oh, is she your wife, your sister? Oh, the fact that you confronted him like that. He understood what you have up your sleeve, and he's concerned that perhaps if he divulges her true identity, she's my wife, you're going to kill him to take his wife. He was forced to misrepresent her identity, so you caused the whole thing. Concludes the Gemara. We see from this whole story, Avimelech was being threatened by Hashem. He could have gotten killed on the spot. You know why? You know why? He had no manners. He had no derech eretz. A guy who should learn derech eretz and fails to do so and behaves in this vulgar way, in this threatening way, that in itself is a reason to punish him with misa. Hasuma ene goyel. Okay, so let's just recap. Oymer mutar. So give oymer mutar. Can take on three different forms. He's really uninformed, uneducated in terms of the properties of what he's doing. Is it usr? Is it mutter? He had no idea. Killing is usr. That's a standard classic Eir mutter. Or he was aiming for a figure in the distance, turned out to be a person instead of an animal. Or in the case of Avimelech, thinking that it's a sister, turns out to be a wife. These are all variations of Eir mutter. Misinformed, uneducated, confused. Machlek is whether it's considered karev la'oynis or karev la'mezid, which makes him liable. We're going to get ger toshav. Yisrael kills a ger toshav, v'shogig is potter, but vice versa, chayiv misa, ger toshav against another ger toshav. We have a contradiction between the Mishnah, which says galus, the brisa, which says misa. We have two ways to explain the contradiction. Hasuma enay nerab, enay goyla. Okay, a person killed. But the killer was a blind man. There's no galus involved. Rabbi Da holds like an oynes. It's less than a shaygi. There's no galus. Divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Omer goyla. There's galus for a suma as well. You can't say it's a true oynes, a true accident, because he could have ensured that there was nobody in the area, and he should have done so. What about a hisayne, a person who's known to be an enemy, who kills his victim b'shoigig? Ainay galus, there's no galus, because there's good reason to believe that he did it intentionally, and he's not deserving of galus. Rabbi Yisrael Eimer takes it a step further. Hisayne nera, we even put him to death. Thanks to Kamud, we assume he did it knowingly, intentionally. Rabbi Shimon Eimer goes back sort of to the Tanakhama. We're not going to kill him, but in terms of galus, it depends on the situation. If there is grounds to believe that he did it intentionally, he can't have galus. Otherwise, he goes to galus like anybody else. Yesh soine goyla. Yesh soine sheine goyla. Sometimes an enemy will have galus, sometimes not. Zaklal, as follows. Kol shu yachol leim aladas harag. If the accident took place in a manner which you could construe as intentional, there's no galus for this man. But otherwise, if all arrows lead in the direction of accident, you see it's just an unintentional thing, then he's deserving of galus to atone for his sin. Here is a good. Turn it up on him. So back to a blind man. Rabbi Yehuda says, no galus. Rameir says, yes galus. It's based on a drasha. Turn it up on him. He killed his victim without noticing him. Prat l'suma. Apparently he has eyesight. He could notice, as opposed to a blind man who can't ever see. Divrei, who's that? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, b'loy ra'ois, the rabbis is hasuma. It's the opposite. It's coming to include even a blind man. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. Where is Rabbi Yehuda coming from? The chsev, the pasuk begins, v'asher yavo Yisrael bayar. He accidentally encountered his victim in the forest. That covers any sort of person. Afilo suma, even if the killer was a suma. There's no specification, right? Comes the next part of the pasuk, also b'loy rois, without noticing, indicating that he has eyesight, that he could notice, mi'ate. in effect excludes a blind man. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Hence, he holds that Yisuma is Pata from Golos. Rav Meir starts the other way. B'lei Rois Lemait. It's true. B'lei Rois indicates that he's not a blind man. Right? Only a person who could see. But then, what about the Pasuk B'bli Das? Again, without noticing. That's another Lemait. Apparently he could notice. So it's, again, another exclusionary term against a blind man. So it's a double miut, a double exclusion. We know when we have a double exclusion, it's like two negatives, turns into a positive. Have a miut achar miut, and ve'ein miut achar miut el rabbi. So it's coming to include a blind man as well. But Rabbi Yehuda says, the words b'li das is not another exclusionary term. Problem is, miskaven to us, it's coming to exclude a different case. Not a blind man, it's coming to exclude a case of miskaven. As we had the other day, if he was trying for a behemoth and he mistakenly killed a person, etc. So in this case, he's parted from Golos, as discussed back in Nav Zayin. So there's no double miut for a Suma, which leaves a Suma liable to Golos. If the accidental killer is known to be an enemy of his victim, we apply Misa to the killer, assuming he did it intentionally. Right? That's the presumption. But what about warning him? Before we punish, we have to pre-warn. There was no Hasra. And the Gemara's understanding, a formal warning, you know, process has to take effect prior to giving him, you know, punishments. Mas Nisan Rabbi Yisrael Yudhi, we're going to Shita Rabbi Yisrael Yudhi, says, there's no need for a formal Hasra. You know, as long as you know that the person was cognizant, was aware, that is sufficient to deserve punishment. Rabbi Yasi Bar Yehuda Aimer, Chaver, a person who is known to be an educated person, Eino Yitzorech Asra, a Talmud Chacham doesn't have to be warned. What's the whole point of Asra? The whole point of warning is to ensure that he understands the ramifications of what he's doing. It's Asra to do this, it's Asra to do that, but if he's an educated person, there's no need to do Asra. Apparently, Asra is not a formal requirement. It's just a means of ensuring cognizance and awareness. So, likewise in our case, he's known to be a sworn enemy of his victim. It's good enough to make him accountable. Rabbi Shimon Omer Yesh Seine Goyle. Well, it depends what happened. Tanya, Ketzad Omer Rabbi Shimon Yesh Seine Goyle. Yesh Seine Sheine Goyle. So, in which case do we say Goyle, which not? So, imagine he's wheeling up a barrel, right? Wheeling it down, I should say, right? So he's sort of letting it down off the roof. Nifsak. So if the rope snaps, that cannot be attributed to his intention, right? It's just a circumstantial accident. Then the goyle, even if he's known to be an enemy, you can't attribute it to him and he goes to Golos. But Nishmat, if the entire rope just slips out of his hands, that looks fishy. Ain't no Golos, there's no Golos. Tani, we have a Braisa, which seems to go the other way around. Reb Shimon Omer, Lo'olam ain't no Golos, Ad Sheyishamit Machtzel. Machtzel is the trowel that he's working on, you know, his roof, smearing the roof material down. So if the Machtzelis slides out of his hands, totally slides out of his hands, with nothing remaining in his hands, actually he shomet machzol miyadoi and slams down on his victim, then he goes into Golos. Right? But otherwise, if there's, you know, something that snapped into pieces and he's holding on to one, the other part fell out, then he's potter, which is the exact opposite of the previous braisa. That if it snapped, there is Golos, but otherwise, if it's so completely slid out of his hands, then there's no Golos. We assume, we were suspecting that he did it intentionally. So we have a double contradiction, right? Kashi nifsak anifsak. Kashi nishmat anifshat. Anishmat. In the first braisa we say nifsak, which means that the thing snapped, broke. An apparent accident. Unplanned, unintentional, there was Golos. The second braisa, he seems to say no Golos. Kashi nifsak anifsak. Kasha nishmat anishmat. The first braisa it says, if it slips out of your hands, we suspect foul play. Whereas in the second braisa it says, Yishamit does earn Golos. Answers the Gemara like this. And the Bach switches the Lashon here, the order. Nishmat anishmat. That goes first. Nishmat anishmat like Kash. First, we're answering that. Haba ayev, v'haba sayne. Ayev means non-enemy, right? Regular people. So the second Bryce, which says that when the trowel totally slides out of your hands and slams down on the victim, there's golos. That's by ayev, a regular person. There's no reason to suspect foul play. V'haba sayne. First Bryce, which says no golos, is speaking about an enemy. We're concerned that perhaps he threw it on him. We allowed it to slip out of his hands. Nifsaka nifsak le kasha. The other kasha can be answered as well. Harebi varabonon. Second brisa. That nifsak does not earn golos. So if the fellow who was unraveling the barrel and lowering the barrel with that rope, unraveling the rope, and the rope itself snapped, which says there's no golos, that's Rebbe Shita, back in Avzayin, who says that regarding a fellow chopping wood with his axe and the metal part, the blade, flung out of the handle, that does not generate golos. That's somewhat considered negligence. There's no golos there. Likewise, in this case, if part of the item snapped out of his hand and the other part still in, there's no golos. The other brayta which says nifsak does generate golos, that's the Rabbanu who said that even if the blade comes shooting out of the handle, so it means he's still holding the part of the item which broke into, you know, sections, there is golos. Here as well, there is golos. Okay, so bottom line is a suma, golos, machlekes. A sayne, well, three shittas. No golos, sometimes golos. The third shita is that he actually gets killed. And the Gemara explains, it all depends on circumstances, nishbat and nifsak. Okay, now, to where? Le'echem goylem. Where would he go to take refuge? La'arei miklat, to those special six cities of refuge. Le'osholosh shebever ha'yarden, three cities on the east of the Jordan River. Le'osholosh shebeeretz Canaan, corresponding to three cities in Eretz Yisrael itself. Shenamar shloish ha'arim titnu me'ever le'yarden, right? Three cities across the Yarden. Shloish ha'arim titnu be'eretz Canaan. Actually, nivcharu shloish be'eretz Yisrael before they established the three in Eretz Yisrael proper. Lo yhayu shloish shebeever ha'yarden koltes. The three cities established across the Jordan were not yet active until all six were in place. Shenamar sheish arei miklatiyana. All six are considered one entity, activated as one. Ach yu shishtan, kotus ka'achas, you need all six active at the same time. M'chavanus lehem drachem zolazu, they had proper roads and signposts between all the cities in Eretz Yisrael directing the potential retzeach to the Ir Miklat, so that he gets there quickly in an unconfused manner. Shenamar tochin l'cha derech, prepare the roads. The Bezdin appoints two Talmid Chachamim to accompany the Ritzayach on the way to the Ir Miklat to protect him, Shema Yargenu B'derech, for concern that the relative, who's called a Goyal Hadam, the redeemer of the victim's blood, might come, pursue him, and kill him. So the Talmid Chachamim, the Dabar Eilu, will accompany him, and if they encounter this fellow, they'll try to talk him out of it. Rav Meir Omer, Afu Medabar De Atzmai, the Ritzayach himself should be involved in dissuading his attacker. Shnemar v'zedvar haritzeach. Rabbi Yisro b'do'imer b'tchila. Initially, echad shoyge v'echad meizid magdimin l'ir miklat. When we get word of a murder, we send him straight to the Ir Miklat. Whether he did it purposely or by accident, we're not going to make that determination right now. Send them off. Keep him safe, just in case. U'bezden sholchen u'mevin o'isim shomad. The Bezden is ready to sit down and analyze the case. They go call him back to the Bezdin, and here he's under protection. So now, if it's discovered that it was bemezid and he gets misa, hargu, they kill him on the spot. Otherwise, they exonerate him. On the other hand, if it turns out that he did it accidentally and he deserves to go to golos, they send him back there. Machzir noislam kaimai. They send him back there to the ear miklat. Shenamar v'yishivu oisoi ha'edo el ear miklatoi. So the pasuk speaks about the bezin sending him back to the ear miklat if it turns out he belongs. Tan rabbanan shalosh arim hivdul Moshe v'ra'yardin. The three across the Yarden were established by Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll connect them correspondingly. Hivdil Yehoshua Beretz Canaan. Three more in Eretz Yisrael proper by Yehoshua. Umechavonis hayukim in shtei shuah shebekerem. And the two sets of three were sort of lined up against each other, like the rows of a vineyard. So the three across lined up with the three in Eretz Yisrael. And it was as follows. Chevron b'Yehuda was stopped from the south of Eretz Yisrael. So the city, the Ir Miklat, which was in Chevron, B'Yehuda, in the area called Yehuda, was opposite Keneged Betzer, the town of Betzer, B'Midbar, across the Yarden. So Chevron was in Ir Miklat, and likewise Betzer. We move up to the center, Eretz Yisrael Shechem, which was Bahar Ephraim, that's corresponding to Keneged Ramos, which was in a place called Begilad. Further north, Kadesh, the town of Kadesh, Bahar Naphtali, was opposite Keneged Goylan, the town of Goylan, Baboshim. Vishilashta. What does that mean? Vishilashta. Shiyum Shiloshim. That the space, the gaps between all the cities, between the southern one and the center one to the northern one, should have the same amount, equal amount of spacing. Which means, Shehei Midorim Lechevren, Kimichevren Lechem. The gap, the space, from the southernmost border of Eretz Yisrael to the town of Chevron was the same distance as between Chevron to the next Ir Miklat to the north, Shechem, and so on and so forth. Shem Medarim leChevron, Kimechevron leShechem. Mechevron leShechem was the same space, Kimechem leKadosh. Umechem leKadosh, the space between Shechem and Kadosh, was like Kimechadosh leTzafon, between Kadosh and the northern border of Eretz Yisrael. Asks the Gemara, how could we have three and three? Be'ever Yarden Tlas, Eretz Yisrael Tlas. There were many more residents in Eretz Yisrael proper than in Eber HaYarden. Eber HaYarden was specific to two and a bit tribes, right? Why would they need three cities where the rest of the nation only need three cities? Eber HaYarden Tlas, Eretz Yisrael Tlas, and Rabbi, yeah, Begilad, in the district Gilad, which was across the Yarden, the environment breeded murderers. Unbelievable. Shechi Reitzchem. An abundance of Reitzchem, which necessitated many more cities of refuge. Chsiv, Gilad, Kiryas, Payal, Oven, Akuba Midam, full of blood. May Akuba Midam, what does that mean? I'm glad to show you. Oikvin, Largan, they would stalk people, stalk victims. Umashnam, Haigisum, Haigisum, Rachi. Now comes another question. In terms of the layout, you see, it seems to be uneven because you basically split Eretz Yisrael's length into four, right? Quarter, 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 quarter. And the first Ir Miklat was at the first quarter point, which sets it a quarter away from the border, right? So, theoretically, a person will have to run all that distance, let's say from the northern border all the way to that quarter point, right? But then we drop another quarter to the next city. So for a person living between these two cities, the distance is so much less, right? So the choice can go this way or that way. Either way, it's less than a quarter of the entire territory. It's much less to run. Why did they distribute it this way? Why do we allow more space on top and on bottom, which makes the city further away from a potential, right? As opposed to the center of Eretz Yisrael, where you're much closer to the Ir Miklat. So let's say if a person kills around the Shechem area, he needs to travel very close to get to the Ir Miklat, right? Right? Never more than an eighth of the total territory, as opposed to a quarter. Right? Do it again. Because look, you have the full, let's say the full length. Let's call it 100%, right? You drop 25%, one. Another 25%, two. Another 25%, three. And then you have full 25% empty. So theoretically, the guy at the bottom has to run 25%. Same with the guy on top. But if he kills someone in the middle, at most, he'll have to run as an eighth. Because in the center, in the Shechem area, there was an abundance of murderers. It was also conducive to murder. As the Pasuk says regarding Shechem, Shechem was a place of murder. My Chever Kehanim, what's the connection to Kehanim? Our Blazer, Shem Eschaber, and our Gnefashes, they would congregate to kill people. Kehanim Alola, Kehanim Shem Eschaber, Lachlik, Trumois, Vesagronis, Kehanim, who gather to get their portion of Truma in the granary. Asks the Gemara, only six Ari Miklat? We have many more. But Vesu Leka, only six. Well, Vaksiv, Pasuk says, we add 42 more. Valeim Titnu, Arboim Shtaim Yir, 42 cities were given to the Levim on top of those six. And they were also already Miklat. Marbai, you're right. It was a total of 48, but there's a difference between the six and the rest. Halol, the initial six discussed earlier, were designated and much more, they had a magnetic pull, so to speak. Kultais, they can absorb the murderer, Bein Ladas, whether he's aware that in fact this is a Ir Miklat, or Bein Shalei Ladas, even if he's unaware. It's an automatic absorption. Halolo. But the other 42, you have to be mindful. Ladas cultus. If you went there with that intention, it works. But Shalei Ladas without the intent, Einan cultus, they don't automatically absorb you. Okay? All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rav.